I'd like you to notice with me the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 7th verse. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with a godly fear, hallelujah, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Praise God. Noah didn't see a thing. There was no earthly signs to tell him that what was going to happen. Never saw a thing. God spoke to him and said, Noah, this world is going to be destroyed, and I want you to build an ark. Never, ever rained. Never heard of such a thing. And there was no earthly signs to confirm it. But Noah moved with godly fear and built an ark that saved his family. And the world was destroyed around him. That is an incredible lesson for us today. God wants us to move and perform with a godly fear. It's a different kind of a fear. It's not a fanatical fear. It was a steadfast confidence, a knowing what God was going to do. And he moved with this godly fear of what God said was going to happen and prepared this ark that saved his household. Now, God wants us in this hour to move and prepare for the great things that are going to happen, both calamities and destructions and also a great move of God. Two things are going to happen. God wants us to move with a godly fear. Just a few days from now, we'll commemorate and remember 9/11. We'll remember just a few blocks down here on the lower west side ground at the bottom of this island. And 9/11, I remember that morning so well. Beautiful, beautiful morning, just like every other morning. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the morning, this plane came crashing into the World Trade Center. And I watched someone call me on the phone and says, get by a television somewhere and watch what's going on. They called me and I rushed in and got a hold of it and looked and saw that second plane crashing much lower to the North Tower. And then I watched these towers come down and 3,000 people lost their lives. Gone. God said something to us. He spoke not only to this city, to this nation. He said something to us, and we need to listen to it. Now, Jesus gave us an explanation of this back in Luke's gospel, the 13th chapter, the 2nd through the 4th verses. He said they were telling him about Pilate, who had mingled the blood of the Jewish people with their sacrifices. Somewhere, obviously, it must have happened in the temple. That's where they offered the sacrifices. So he mingled their blood with them, took these folks that were offering sacrifices to God and killed them and let their blood go with the blood of the animals. Unbelievable. And Jesus said this. He said, do you think those people that died by Herod's at Herod's hands as he kill them along with their sacrifices and had their blood with the blood of the animals, do you think that they were worse than the rest of the people in the city? He said they weren't any worse. He said they weren't. They were no worse. Then he said, how about those folks the 18 that were killed in the Tower of Siloam? He said, do you think those 18 folks that died in the tower that collapsed were worse than everybody else? He said, they weren't any different. They were no different. He said, you shall all likewise perish unless you repent. He said this, putting it in plain English. He said, God let this happen early to them, that it would be a warning. The same judgment is going to come on the rest in this city, but he let theirs come early to speak to everybody else, to get a message. These folks that died in the tower were no worse than other New Yorkers. And God let it happen to them to give a warning to this city and a warning to this nation. Some terrible things are coming. Our founding pastor, Pastor Dave, saw these tremendous fires in this city and sent out a warning. Now, let me tell you something, folks. It's absolutely true. It's going to happen. What God showed Pastor Dave will happen. I know it is in the spirit. I know that. And I know other things are going to happen. Now, God wants us to take heed and be ready. And to be ready spiritually as well as otherwise, spiritually ready for the hours that are coming. In a few days, we'll be remembering this tragedy. But we as Christians need to understand what God is saying. He warned us. Now, things are going to happen in this country and in this city and in this world. I don't know when. All I know is it's going to be what God said, and I know it's going to happen, folks. Don't think it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, he wants us to move with a godly fear, to get ready. He wants us to get ready, and he wants you to be ready that it doesn't take you by surprise, that you're not shocked, and that you don't lose faith, and that you are ready to be used of God in this dramatic hour that's coming on this city and on this country and the world. Awesome days are ahead. I don't know how quick, but we don't have too much time. It's time for us to move. It's time for us to prepare. Now, Noah didn't see a thing, but he got ready. He got ready. He built the ark. Now, he says, the scripture to quote it exactly said, he prepared. God wants us to prepare. And he wants us to prepare, first of all, for folks that are lukewarm. He wants you to get out of the lukewarm condition. The folks that are cold and lukewarm, he wants you on fire. And I want to read to you what he has to say about that, because it's very, very important. In Revelation, the third chapter of Revelation, I want to read it to you. I want you to listen. These are the words of Jesus Christ. If he is standing here, it's exactly what he would say. These are his words, not mine. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Now, why does he want them to? He'd rather you were cold than lukewarm. I'll tell you why in just a minute. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Need I go any further? It's plain. God does not accept lukewarmness. Millions of Christians in this country are lukewarm. Millions. In fact, if you would ask me, what's the majority of even in the evangelical churches, what's the majority state of the folks in America in the churches? I would say lukewarm would cover most of them. It's the largest part. Now, the reason you can't afford to be lukewarm is it's not acceptable with God. These folks were Christians, lukewarm, not cold. They weren't cold people. They were not cold. He said, I would rather you were cold. The reason he'd rather you were cold than lukewarm is cold people can be discovered. If somebody's cold, it's easy to recognize it, and when you preach, it's easy for them to recognize it. Lukewarmness is the most difficult spot for God to reach of anybody because they don't need it. You read it, they don't need it. They're okay. I'm not like that. I'm not cold. I'm regular. I give. I'm regular. I've got enough. They're not cold. And they're pretty, you'd say pretty good, fairly good, but not totally out and out and on fire. Lukewarm is not acceptable with Jesus Christ. Why? It won't make it when the test comes. Lukewarm people won't make it. Lukewarmness won't make it. That's why it won't take it. Because you can't make it. When the test comes, you've got to have the fire and the strength and the power and the glory. Half-hearted won't make it. Just enough Christianity to get to heaven isn't enough to get there. You don't get there lukewarm. You don't make it. When the test comes, you won't have it. When the test comes, you'll flunk. That's why he'll spew you out. It makes him sick because you think you're ready. You think you'll make it. You think you've got enough, and you haven't. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. It's not enough. You have got to get on fire. You've got to put every weight aside. You've got to get purpose in you. And you've got to build a spiritual ark that'll take the flood. Hallelujah. That when the flood comes, you're going to rise above it. Hallelujah. When the storm comes, you rise above it. When the Satan comes after you, you're not going under. You're going to go over because you've got it in you. The Holy Spirit, you're on fire. You're walking with God. You're listening to God. You're His. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it's not enough to be in an on-fire church. It's not enough to say, I'm going to a great church. That won't do it. Folks, he doesn't save churches. He saves people. Hallelujah. He saves people. He saves individuals. Get on fire. Praise God. There are a few things that God wants. He wants the lukewarm folks to repent because you won't make it. You won't make it. It's not enough. Just almost there isn't enough. I'm almost committed. It's not enough. If there's areas in your life, in my life, that are not totally committed, you've got to be totally committed to God. He's calling for an army that's totally committed. He's calling for folks that are totally committed, that he can pour out his spirit upon you, that when the stuff comes down your pike, that you're going to rise above it. When the test comes and when this city is struck and when people around you are struck and whatever happens and he can save your life, that you're close enough to God that he can talk to you, that you're listening to him, that you're hearing his voice. He's calling you. And I want you to know, first of all, you've got to get repentance. If you're lukewarm, get out of it. And it's the hardest people in the world. The folks in here that need this most won't listen tonight. That's the tragedy. The people that need this message most aren't going to hear it because lukewarm are okay. They're the most difficult people. That's why God hates it, because you can't get them. I got enough. I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I don't need them anymore. I'm doing fine. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You've got to have all of it. You've got to be out and out. You've got to be on fire. You've got to be hot for Jesus. Hot for Jesus. Say hot for Jesus. Hot! On fire! No half-hearted stuff. No half-hearted lukewarm. All in all. We had a young man that used to come to our church in summers, went to Bible school, he'd come from India. Sumer Singh, never forget him. He was on fire. He went back and died, a young man, burned out, killed himself on bicycles preaching in India. Sumer, he stood up and he'd speak with such fire. It's all in all or not at all. I'll never forget him. All in all or not at all. All in all, 100% or nothing. All in all or not at all. 99 won't work. 90% won't work. Almost there won't work. God wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. 100% of you. He doesn't want 99%. He is asking for 100% of us, that we can be His power, that we can be His men and His women, that the light can shine in this last hour. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Let's praise God tonight and believe God tonight. We've got three things to quickly get into the Word. Get into this book and get into the New Testament. The life of all of it, it's all the Word, but the New Covenant is most important, the New Testament. The four Gospels, the epistles, Romans, Galatians, and those epistles, and Hebrews, and all of them, and then the book of Revelation. Read the whole thing. Get filled with the Word of God. Eat it. Love it. Enjoy it. Pray over it. Ask God to help you get it and walk in it and live in it and let it live in you. And take this book and love this book and love this Jesus that wrote this book, and ask God to fill you mind with it. And don't be filled with the world and don't be filled with other things. Get full of the Word of the Lord. Folks say, well, I don't understand the book of Revelation. Read it anyway, because you know why? The Bible, you'll understand enough. You'll understand enough. The Bible gives a special blessing to those that read the book of Revelation, because you'll get a picture that God's destruction is coming on this wicked world, and you'll get it. You might not understand it all. Don't need to. You'll understand enough. You'll understand more and more and more than you think, because the Holy Spirit will help you, and you'll get an understanding that we've got an eternity, that we're going to be with Him. You'll get a picture of heaven. You'll get a picture of the judgment, and you'll get an understanding that this world, the way it's going, isn't going to last, but we're going to last. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get this book into you. Don't read other things until you've read the Bible. Don't read other things until you've read the Bible in the daytime. Don't, you know, if you were saying, well, I've got to read a little bit before I go. No, you're missing it. You're lukewarm or maybe even cold. No, this book comes first. This comes before television. This comes before the newspaper. This comes before anything else. This book takes first place in your reading and in your understanding. This book has to be lifted up in your life. The Word of God. This is the living Word of God. And He's going to have a people that are into it, that know it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word, people are destroyed because they don't know the word. Get this book into you. Get those gospels into you. Read those letters over and over, and read this book until it becomes part of you, until you walk in it, until you talk it, until you listen, and until you believe it and become a man of faith and a man of power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This power in this book. This power in this word. This is the word of God Almighty. These are the words of Jesus Christ that I read to you. This is God's truth speaking to you. The world hates this book. That's why they moved it from our schools. That's why you can't quote it in school. And our schools are going to go down, folks. They're going down because when you take this book out and you take God out, it's over. It's just a matter of time. Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. This is God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you that you gave it to us. The price it was paid that we could have this truth. And we thank you, Jesus. And we thank you that you're going to have people that know it, that live it, that talk it, that speak it with power. Hallelujah. This book has power. It's the word of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank him for it right now. Thank him for it. Hallelujah. We've got to get into prayer. We're going to become a people of prayer. Thank God for the prayer that's going on. But we got to have a lot more people praying. A lot more people praying. God answers prayer. Get to where your life is a prayer. Rise up and pray. Stay up at night and pray. And make prayer the big thing. Net prayer cannot be, I've got to pray today. You're missing it. Those prayers go nowhere. You're missing it. You don't say, I've got to pray today. You're looking forward. Prayer becomes big in your life. Seeking God is a big thing in your life. Time with Jesus to talk to God. Our Father, he said, call me Father, Father, Father. You've got to take time to pray. Put other things aside. There's some things you're doing that won't matter. Your prayer can change people's lives. Let me get to you. I beg you tonight, listen to me. Put prayer where it ought to be. Learn to pray. Get into prayer. Take time to pray. Move other things around out of the way and find the time to pray and to seek God. He's going to raise up intercessors. He's going to raise up women and men that can pray and seek God. Be that Anna that went to the temple, that was praying in the temple night and day. And when Jesus was born, she was the woman that was there. She was there when he came. She was there because she was in the temple all the time. Hallelujah. She just didn't happen to be there that day. That's where she was. Hallelujah. She was praying. Hallelujah. Old Simeon, best be like those people in the early church. They prayed for Simon Peter in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. And he said they killed James. They killed James, John's brother James. And Herod did, and they were going to kill Peter, put him in prison. They was waiting for the Passover to bring him out to the people to kill him. And the church prayed continually, fasted, prayed, sought God night and day. They were calling on God. And that night before he was going to take him out, the next day, an angel came in. Peter had a chain on each hand, a soldier on each hand. And in the middle, and then there were guards, all these different guards. At least, there was two levels of guards outside. The angel came in and struck him on the side and woke him up, and the chains fell off his hands. I've often thought, how about those guys that were beside him? They kept right on sleeping. They never woke up. Can you imagine that? They were there still sleeping, and Peter's chains fell off, and the angel struck him, and the light came into place. They didn't see it. They was right there. And Peter got up, thought it was a thought he was having a vision, and the angel said, put your clothes on, put your robe on. He put his clothes on, got dressed, and led him out past the first guard of soldiers. Apparently, the soldiers never saw him. They walked out. Peter thought it was a vision. Soldiers never moved. Walked by the next guard. They never moved. Kept on going. Went to the iron gate. The gate swung open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter still thought he was having a vision. He thought he was having a vision. They walked through one street, and the second street, it says the angel left, and Peter said, man, that's not a vision. I'm out. Hallelujah. I'm out. I'm here. He ran over to Mark's house and knocked on the door at Mark's house, Mark's mother's house. Went on, they were all praying in there. One knocked on the door, and a little girl came to the door and said, when it's Peter, she recognized him. She ran back in, didn't say anything. Says, Peter is standing out. He said, you've lost your mind. He's in jail. No, he's out here. He kept knocking and knocking. Can you imagine that crowd when Peter walked in that room? Let me tell you, folks, let me tell you something. God's the same tonight as he was that night. He's the same Jesus Christ tonight. He's the same God that we're serving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is still answering prayer. Charles Stanley, Pastor Stanley, told a story some time ago on his radio program. And he said just at the year that back in 89, in 89, he said, some folks in East Germany asked, could they go in the, maybe you heard it, go into the, one of the rooms in this big church and pray. Just six young people. And they said, could we go there and pray for East Berlin? They began to pray. And in a little while, more joined them. And they filled the room up. And they said, could we go? Now we have to go into the main sanctuary. They went into the main sanctuary, which seated about 2,000. They filled the main sanctuary. They kept on praying. The last prayer meeting, there was 2,000 inside and 10,000 outside praying. And the Iron Curtain came down. Hallelujah. The Berlin Wall fell. Hallelujah. They were praying for the wall to come down. God answered their prayers, and the wall came down. Folks, there is nothing that prayer can't do. Hallelujah. There is nothing. There is no problem that you've got that prayer can't answer. There is no situation that's facing this, that's facing people in this building. The answer is prayer. The answer is not worry. It's not worrying. It's not fear, that kind of fear. Have a reverential fear, a holy fear, a fear of God, a fear of failing Him. And let's pray. Get into prayer. Don't let the devil tell you it doesn't work. It's the most powerful thing in this world is believing prayer. There's nothing that it can't do. There's not a chain that it can't break. There's not a demon that it can't tie up and cast out. There's not a sickness that he can't heal. There's not a debt that he can't pay. There's not a problem that God can't solve. We've got a mighty God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get into prayer. Become a man of prayer. Become a woman of prayer. Become a man. The world has yet to know all that prayer can do and will do. Let's be a, it got to be a praying people. Pray tomorrow. Join us till we fill that place and rock the place with prayer. On Thursday night, get into that prayer meeting. Pray in your house. Become a praying people and watch the chains fall off and the doors open. And hallelujah. And when destruction comes to this city, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. It won't take us down. Our light is going to shine. Times Square's light is going to shine in this city because of prayer. Come on, let's seek God with all of our heart. We have to love. We have to love and come together with love. John, the third chapter, the epistle of John. The third chapter. Praise God. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Now listen. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his life for us. We should lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let's not love in word, but in deed and in truth. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Whoever we are in this church that don't love, you don't know God. God is love. In this, the love of God is manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We've got to come together in love. It's harder in a big city, but God's going to help us. We've got to love. We've got to come together, love one another. I remember my last year of Bible school, we had a missionary. War was still going on. We had a missionary. I'd never forget him. Came from China. He was in China with his family when the Japanese overtook that part of China. He stayed in this building for several months. No way to get out. No way to get any food. And the Japanese stood, the soldier, at the door of where he was behind that wall, in his room. And they had a baby, his granddaughter. And if the baby ever cried, they'd all be dead. And they prayed every day, don't let the baby cry. And the baby never cried once when there was a guard at the door for those months. Weeks went by. Never once did that baby cry. The guard stood there every day and never opened the door. The Chinese Christians, at the risk of their life, brought food. When the guards changed, they were standing outside with the food. And when they changed the guards and a man left the door, a Chinese Christian would run to the door, knock on the door, and they would open and slide the food in. And they live for months. And every day, the Christians risk their lives that he might survive. I could never tell the story like he could tell it. When finally the ship came, and the English ship, and they got out, and they welcomed him on board that ship, it was incredible. But he said the Chinese Christians put their life on the line every day to save our lives. Some of us are going to have to lay our lives on the line for God. I'm not a powerful man, but I'm praying that with myself and you, that we will not hold back, that we're going to be 100% for God. Some of us are going to have to lay our lives down. But let me tell you, we're going to win. Whatever the cost, God's power, God's crowd are going to win. And we're going to get into the Word. We're going to get into prayer. We're going to get into giving. You've got to turn loose of time. Turn loose of substance. Noah built that ark. It took time. It took substance. It took stuff. You've got to turn loose. And let's go 100% for Jesus in this hour. In the name of Jesus. He's going to call up an army and young men, and we're going to win. There's going to be a revival. It's expensive. But there's going to be a revival, and there's going to be a mighty coming down of Satan's strongholds. God is bigger than the devil ever hoped to be. God's power is greater. Hallelujah. And it's time. It's time to seek God and believe him now And let's believe God. This city is not too hard for God. He's going to help us. He's going to help us. He's going to raise up people. Now let's seek Him with all of our heart. Get into the Word. Get into prayer. Get into giving. Get into listening. Get into loving. And love God's people. And let's come together. We have to come together to win. We must be together. We must bond together. We've got to be together. But together we can see His power and the unity. One will chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000 we'll put to flight. God bless you, Pastor, as we come and end this meeting tonight. God bless you. Praise God.
Praise God. Folks, tonight the opening scripture that you heard was about a man called Noah, and it's interesting because that story's been on my heart for days now about Noah. He heard this message, and with a godly fear in his heart, a godly preparation, he went and got the materials he needed. And in spite of the ridicule of a perishing society, he began to prepare what was necessary. And tonight you've heard about the materials, a heart that's on fire for God, hands that are willing to open the Bible and are willing to be a blessing for the sake of Christ and for other people. And those who are willing to say, Lord, take me into the closet of prayer. I really don't know how to pray, but I'm willing to pray. And Lord, I want to pray. And so give me a heart that wants to pray. It's the man, it's the woman that says, Lord, I'm not content just to be in a church. I want to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, you surely have a heart that burns with a love for this world. Surely, God, you care about the men and women in our streets, the just and the unjust. Lord, help me to have that heart. Help me, Lord, to have a love in my heart for humanity that casts out fear. As the scripture says, a perfect love does cast all fear away. That I'll not be afraid of whatever I have to face. But, oh God, because you love this world, I will love this world. And you will love them in me and through me. I want to give an altar call this evening for those who just, you've heard this word and you say, Pastor, I agree with it. And I agree that it's not right that I should be in any other condition but a heart that's on fire for God and for the work of God. That I should love anything more than the Word of God, that I should desire anything more than a walk with God. Lord, help me in this. Remember, there was a father in the scripture whose son was in distress, and he came to Jesus and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe as much as I can, and I'm reaching out as much as I know, and Lord, you've got to take me the distance. It's got to be you, Lord. I'll get up and I'll move towards you, but you've got to give me the power to be those things that I've heard about this evening. And if that's in your heart here in the main sanctuary, the education annex, I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat, come to the front of this auditorium, and Pastor Crandall will come back and pray with you and for you. And let's believe God together that as we leave this evening, something supernatural will transpire in our hearts. And we'll go home and begin to prepare that which God is asking us to build in this generation. Could you please stand? Just slip out of your seat. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. And come, and we'll pray together.
I want you to pray the prayer that I pray. God, I don't have the strength in myself. But I'm asking you tonight. Give me the strength. Give me your anointing. God, give me your love. I don't have it in myself, but you've got it. Give me your love. Give me your power. Now take me, Father. And God, give me your endurance. Give me your strength. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight because you can enable us. We can't do it in ourselves, but you can help us. And we call on you out of the depths of our heart. And we ask you, Lord, help us, strengthen us, empower us. Let your Holy Spirit come on us. Fill us with your Spirit. And let your light shine. And we give you the glory. We thank you that you've made a way, that you're able, that you've got the provision. And we ask, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you for helping us. Yes. Hallelujah. Fill us with your glory. Fill us with your Spirit. Take us, God. Praise you, Jesus. Put a hunger in us for your word. Help us to hunger for the word of God. Give us a love for the word of God. Give us understanding for the word of God. Now help us in our prayer. Give us strength, God. Let us say no to the things that would separate us from you. Cleanse us, God. Let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Every weight. And the sin that besets us. And let us run with patience. Now strengthen your people. God, we ask you to go with us, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. You said, Lord, that you would bless those that sought you and that to rejoice with those that seek the Lord. Because, God, you hear prayer. We thank you for hearing us tonight. We thank you for hearing us tonight. We thank you for helping us tonight. We thank you for strengthening us tonight. We thank you, God. Give us that strength. Hallelujah. Take every doubt out of us and every fear of failure and let us trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank Him tonight. Praise Him for helping you tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Because when you open your heart and call, He hears. He hears. He said to me the other day, it's my strength you got to have. You don't have it, but I've got it. I'll give it to you. Just ask me and trust me. Hallelujah. Now put your confidence in Him and trust in Him. Hallelujah. And when you make a mistake, confess it to Him and ask Him to keep you close and to get you closer and to walk with Him and to hear His voice and to be His people. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Lord, we just thank you tonight for just the miracle that each of us are experiencing as you answer our prayer. Lord, this is not coming out of pretended hearts. Lord, we do want to be alive in you. We do want to walk with you, not in part, but in the full measure of what you have for us. God, we thank you for this. Guide us, lead us as a people, Lord. Help us to do justice and honor to your name in this city. We thank you for it, Lord. Now, God, thank you for giving us the materials that we need tonight to build what you've called us to build. Thank you that you don't send us out empty-handed, but you send us out full, strengthened, empowered, with hearts of vision and faith, God, knowing that you will be faithful to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we thank you for this. We praise you for it. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Now give him a shout of praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.